This is Carl Valeri with Stuck Mike Avcast, and we're reporting for Sun and Fun Radio. We're over here at the 99's house right here on Clubhouse Road across from the Flying Tent. And we're talking to Bob with Wings of Dreams Aviation Museum. And just, Bob, if you could tell us a little bit about your museum here in Florida.
Okay, well, we're a fairly new aviation museum. We're in the process of building still. We have a temporary field headquarters at the Keystone Heights Airport, 42 Juliet. It's about 100 miles north of Lakeland. We have World War II memorabilia up through space program artifacts. And we are also going to be the recipient of the Space Shuttle Simulator coming to us. In fact, we're going to Houston on the 15th of the month to start packing up and bringing that bad boy home.
Packing up and bringing home, what, did you take a big truck or something like that, a big moving van?
It's called five semis, 12 people, and a huge effort.
Five semis, that must be huge.
It's 75,000 pounds. It's about the width of a corporate hangar and about 38 feet tall. So it'd be the opportunity to engage young people in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics and get them excited about some of the things this country has fallen behind in.
That's terrific. That's great to hear that you're promoting that. What gave you the inspiration, or the founders of this, the inspiration? Are you one of those?
Well, I am one of the co-founders, as well as Susan King, who's the co-founder, managing director, and really the brains behind all this. And Susan's vision of commemorating World War II veterans started the project, as she's a warbird owner herself.
Oh, what kind of warbird does she have?
She has a 1945 L-4J that was assigned to Patton's Third Army.
Oh, cool. And she gets to fly. Did she fly it in today?
No, we had to haul Wasp in here, so we're in a Mooney Ovation today.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I tell you, I do appreciate you bringing the Wasp by. And we actually were able to interview those folks. Just an amazing story. It's terrific that you're making this tribute to all the folks that served in World War II.
Well, we've been, as part of our main mission with Wings of Dreams, really commemorating the heroes of World War II and some of the unsung heroes and their backstories of who is here and who will be here this week. One of our WASP that's here is the only B-29 female pilot in the world. Barry Smith, she was a multi-engine test pilot here in 1942, 43, 44. And has flown a wide variety of aircraft. Some of the other WASP that associate with us, Helen Snapp, she pioneered target towing in a Curtiss Hell Diver with a 200-foot cable and a windsock behind that student artillery gunners shot at for training with no armor plate.
So they're getting shot at by other students as they tow this target.
Sweet. The Army told them it was okay, so it must be safe.
Oh, my God. Did anybody get hurt?
I don't know, the government never lies, right?
Right.
So, at any rate, the other thing that she did, as she's rather diminutive in stature, she was the one that pioneered drones. Now, UAVs are a very popular thing today, but they did it 65 years ago. As the guinea pig in the drone, while some fool on the ground tried to make it work. That's not a job that I think I'd sign up for.
No, that's for sure. Now, let's get back to the museum. What can they see at this museum right now?
Well, our field headquarters should be open in about a month. So we're in process. The exterior has been completed, and we're in process of setting up displays inside. The facility that we had previously, we've moved into this new one, so we've had a lot to move. In there right now, we have some of the top secret stories from World War II, such as we have this little slide rule that was actually invented by a fellow named Alex Green. Alex Green was the Mr. Spock of World War II. He was so top secret they would not allow him to enlist. He was Curtis LeMay's right-hand man during World War II, and when a problem came up that was so difficult to solve, they gave it to Alex. When the B-29, like the one here, Fifi, here at Sun and Fun came out, it didn't have the range that Boeing promised. We've probably never seen that happen before.
No, never.
So he invented a way for the flight engineers to run those engines at what we know today as a lean of peak operation, extending the range of the airplane by 600 miles.
And what year was this?
This would be 1944. So what made that important is it allowed us to capture ground across the Pacific that much faster, like places Saipan, Tinian, other places that we know from history that were pivotal in the B-29's role. But the backstory behind that's even more important. The Germans had given the Japanese nuclear technologies that they were working, their experimentation, their physicists were working on. Japan had, in fact, detonated a nuclear weapon before we did. We have the manuals. We have the films. We have the artifacts from that program there that actually shows how we could have lost World War II by 3 weeks had it not been for that slide rule.
Wow. And how many other secrets are there?
Well, we have things from the Apollo program that my dad was involved with. He worked for Grumman for 41 years and was in the head of quality control for the Lunar Module program. I grew up with the astronauts and witnessing a lot of this firsthand.
And that was in Long Island?
That was in Houston.
Oh, in Houston.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, Grumman Aircraft Manufacturing was in Long Island, in Calverton and Bethpage, but their space assets were all in Houston. And at any rate, we have some artifacts. You've seen the movie Apollo 13. You've seen the master caution light that keeps flashing on there. We got it in a little box there. We also have the umbilical where when the Apollo astronauts spacewalked, they plugged into the capsule and went for a walk outside at 17,500 miles an hour. Fast walk.
That is a fast walk.
And we also have a number of very rare photographs from the moon and journals, exchanges from mission control to astronauts from the Mercury, Gemini, Apollo Space Lab. We have the flight command keyboard that flew Skylab there. We also have a complete history of navigation going from very early sextants, bubble sextants, up through electronic age, all the way through the star tracker that was used in spacecraft and how they navigated in space.
Now, a star tracker, meaning that kind of like you'd use a sextant, that type of thing?
Yeah. Much like that was invented for the SR-71's navigation system. So they used that. That was an offshoot of the space program as well. And, well, we have many, many, many uniforms. We have a huge collection of WASP memorabilia, their training manuals, their uniforms, flight manuals, logbooks, letters home, things that no one else has.
Say somebody is doing some research on, a B-17 or something. Can they come to you and maybe look up some of this information?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Carl, because our resource library is one that a person can come there and research things from World War I up through space and dig up artifacts or information and or task one of our museum researchers to do it for a contribution to the museum. And if we have the information, we'll pluck it out and send it to them. So it's a great opportunity for people who are looking for rare, out-of-print information to come and do research projects on.
Wow, that's terrific. Now, how about in the future? I know this is just opening up for, say, the kids. You know, we want the kids to be inspired by this. Is there anything there that's going to be family-friendly or kids and adults alike at this museum that they might be interested in?
One of the things that we do that's different from other museums is we operate the equipment that we have. So instead of looking at static aircraft, if you want to fly in a World War II airplane, if you want to fly a spacecraft, if you want to, you know, do research on things and be hands-on, we have that opportunity. As far as youth activities, even at our annual AirFest that we just held a couple weeks ago, we have a lot of youth modeling activities where kids, they may build a model of, say, a P-40 Warhawk and under supervision put that together and learn how the parts and pieces work and what they do. But when they complete that project, they're given a card, and they take that over to the combat airman's tent where they find the guy that flew that in Pearl Harbor and have them autograph the wing. And then that veteran will sit him down and tell him his history and also assign him a project. Now you know what it did in Pearl Harbor. Go find out what it did in Guadalcanal or North Africa or whatever, and I want a book report sent back to me on it. So instead of a piece of junk that's going to get thrown in a closet somewhere, This is something that's a follow-on research project for that kid based on his level of education or her, and enable them to get inspired.
So this is kind of like living history. I mean, we're able to actually be there and be part of it and touch and feel and see and talk to this actual history. And I think that's terrific. I think that's wonderful that you're doing that. How about for us older folks, older kids? You know, what can we get involved with?
Well, the restoration projects that we have right now, we have 5 aircraft waiting for restoration, and we're always looking for volunteer help there. In fact, we have a C-47 that has been donated to us. Right now we need engines and propellers for it to get it home from where it is. And we have quite a bit of research or work to do on restoring that, because we intend to restore that back into an airplane that I flew 35 years ago, an AC-47 gunship, and commemorate the Vietnam era. We have a second C-47 that is currently flying right now that we're going to do a D-Day commemoration with and commemorate the World War II heroes that flew that. On our airport, there's also another C-47 that was the lead airplane on D-Day that led that whole 135-mile-long stream of C-47s that led the Normandy invasion.
Wow, this is amazing, all these different things you have. And it's not even started yet. How did you come up with these ideas, and how did you get all the resources to do this?
You know, sometimes the universe is kind to us. We've had a passion for this for many years. We've been working on this for about 6 years. So it's not something that's just fresh out of the box. It's taken hours and hours of hard work by a lot of volunteers, and our managing director, Susan King, is largely responsible for a lot of the acquisitions that we've gotten from NASA and from other people, private individuals who have donated very rare and collectible things. We have model aircraft that are scratch-built, custom-built, hundreds of hours of labor, that we have 29 of those just hanging in the museum right now. We have motorcycles from World War II that are on loan to the museum, and way cool stuff with sidecars and anti-aircraft guns being towed behind them. And we have one that's from the Jack Welch collection that's a Harley-Davidson WLA. It actually is a copy of a German BMW for a reason.
Why is that?
When they got to North Africa, the Harleys didn't hold up in the desert heat. But they noticed that the German army was happily going about their business on their BMWs. So they acquired one, not on a lend-lease program, sent it back to the United States, and reverse-engineered the BMW drive shaft, boxer, opposed cylinders, brakes, everything. And it is a for-real Harley-Davidson, but darn it, sure looks BMW to me.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, that's not a stub for Harley drivers out there. So tell me a lot. They're wonderful bikes, but that's something that we will never learn unless we go to a museum like your museum. Is there anything else that'll be unique to yours that they won't see somewhere else at another museum? Other than, I mean, you've told us a lot so far.
Well, there's two things, and one thing, Carl, that we're looking at right now. We're completing a video that is going to be a documentary on the women Air Force service pilots called Silver Wings Shattered Dreams. On the wingsofdreams.org website, you can see a 10-minute clip on this video. This highlights the stories, good and bad, of what happened back in World War II to these heroes. And it also interviews current-day female flyers in the military that have benefited from the sacrifices made by these ladies way back when. 95% of the filming has been shot. We're looking for completion funding to get that into the Discovery Channel, History Channel, Military Channel, Wings Channel, National Geographic, and to make it available in schools as well. So a lot of people don't know this history because it was simply locked up at the end of World War II. A lot of what they did was classified. The other thing that we need some assistance with in the growth of our building fund, you know, the space artifacts, including the space shuttle simulator that's coming to us, The Triana satellite mock-ups, the Dewar experiment that flew on STS-57. We have $12 million of space artifacts there now with over $66 million coming, and we don't have a building to put it in. This was to be phase three of our development because of our manned space program being shut down. It's become phase one.
Wow.
And Houston, we have a problem.
Sure.
So we have a facility to temporarily house it until we get our facility built, but we really can use an angel donor. And little pieces make big pieces happen.
So if they want to actually donate to this, they would actually be able to go onto the website, the
wingsofdreams.org.
Okay, and there's a place to donate. Now, you had mentioned something before, and I think that's a great organization called Civil Air Patrol, and you have something there at the museum that has to do with the Civil Air Patrol coming from New Jersey. That's one of the places where they did had a lot of activities and where it started.
Well, my mom flew in CAP in World War II, so and I've been in CAP since I was 13 years of age, you know, which is a while back. So. A couple. So, at any rate, I'm still in there. In fact, we're the ones that started the Florida Wing Civil Air Patrol soaring program. We've flown over 850 kids at Keystone Heights Airport, not put a scratch on anything. And that's grown into, you know, private soaring programs there as well. It's a great place to be in the middle of the state. You have a natural high pressure right there from two sea breeze fronts that collide. CAP Memorial in our museum is going to highlight the history of what happened in Florida, especially during World War II, as so many hundreds of thousands of tons of shipping was sunk immediately off our coasts, plural, both in the Gulf of Mexico and off the Atlantic. Off of St. Augustine, just a little bit to the east of us, it wasn't a common sight to go out to the beach and not see a tanker or a supply ship burning from a U-boat that attacked it.
Now, the Civil Air Patrol, what did they do back then to prevent that?
They flew missions as far as 60 miles offshore in Stinson 105s and Cubs, armed with depth charges or a 250-pound bomb, searching for the U-boat submarines that the Nazis had that were sinking our shipping. They also did communications, liaison work, patrol of our inland United States, forest fire spotting, civil defense missions. They flew the mail. They had so many different types of missions that benefited our country back then. And for young people especially, they need to know this was a time period where World War II was not a political thing. Everyone was involved in it. They had rubber and metal scrap drives. They had paper drives. Nothing was wasted. Everybody had a mission to contribute to our country's survival.
Wow, and that's something that they can actually get involved with now, that the young people can get involved with today, Civil Air Patrol. And it's changed just a little bit, but what mission does it have today?
It's still a wonderful program. In fact, the aerospace education program really is unparalleled, and there's opportunities there for scholarships for young people that are wonderful. I took advantage of that as a youngster myself, went through jet orientation flying a T-33 when I couldn't even drive a car yet. So, you know, that led to going in the Air Force and later on being an airline pilot and doing a lot of other things in the aviation industry.
Wow, that's a terrific story. Now, they'll have some other things besides the memorial for the Civil Air Patrol that they'll be on display there then?
We have uniform collection. We've got their old training books and manuals. We actually have some people that go back to the early days of Civil Air Patrol, including one of our volunteer members is the fellow that developed the bomb sling that carried the bombs and depth charges on the aircraft that attacked the U-boats there in World War II, and God willing, he'll be with us a few more years.
Wow, that's terrific. Anything else you can tell us about the museum before we close up here?
You know, we try and remind and enlighten the public, particularly the younger generation of the significant events of World War II, and the greatest conflict in human history, and showcase the call for chapter of aviation history and America's space program at our museum. We've got a lot of great volunteers. We've got a lot of missions that are going to be ongoing for a long time, and we really enjoy meeting the public and seeing some of their involvement with Wings of Dreams. We put on an event every year that showcases the veterans and give the public the opportunity to come out and participate and be hands-on with them. When you meet these people and see the look in their faces and the sincerity of how they feel about America, you know you're in the company of real heroes.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, the folks that want to learn more about the Wings of Dreams, I know you're here at the 99s. Would that be the best way to find out about Wings of Dreams?
We'll be here tomorrow and probably then partially the next day, but really the wingsofdreams.org website is going to be your primary point of contact. And things are very busy right now, so if you do send us an email, please be patient, as we're taking 12 people to Houston to bring home the Space Shuttle Simulator real soon. We just finished a major air show, and we're flying WASP here to Sun and Fun for honoring ceremonies. And I understand one of them tomorrow is going to get a flight in the B-29 that she used to be a test pilot with.
That is going to be neat. And I tell you, if anybody gets a chance, you should get over here. It's right here on Clubhouse Drive at the 99's house, and the Wings of Dreams Aviation Museum folks will be here. Susan King also, who we didn't get to talk to today, she'll be here along with Captain Bob, and she'd be more than willing to talk about the museum. But also they have this really cool little video. It's a demo about the actual video that you're putting together for the Discovery Channel, the film. And I'm actually looking forward to look at that myself, and I think that'll be terrific. And you'll have that here for the next couple of days.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I really appreciate your time, and we'll hope to see you in the next few days, and I'm going to tell everybody to get over here because this is just a wonderful time here to be able to speak with people that are actually part of our history, the WASPs, and also talk to people that are promoting our history like you folks, and I really do appreciate that.
Carl, thank you, and thank the listeners to Stuck Mike Avcast there. We appreciate your involvement as well.
Well, thanks so much. And this is Carl Valeri reporting with Sun and Fun Radio. And you can listen to us at 1510 a.m. Again, come on over to the booth here at the 99s.